The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at coopradio.org.
Today's conversation is with Vince Tao, an organizer with the Vancouver Area Network of Drug Users, VANDU. We talk about the police shooting of Chester, a 37-year-old Filipino man, in the downtown east side on January the 5th. We also had an interview with Pivot Legal on Tuesday about the shooting. You can find that interview online or via podcast. Vince and I talk about the shooting and also about VANDU's position that increased police presence does not increase public safety. I appreciated this conversation because Vince provides more details on questions that come up frequently on the topic of defunding the police. We dig into questions such as who else other than the police could we call in situations that are violent and can pose life or death risk to responders. We also talk about VANDU's perspective on the evidence the VPD provides of the beneficial work it does in the neighborhood. Here's Vince. Vince Tao, what a pleasure to have you on the show.
No, thanks for having me.
Vince, can you tell us about what we know about the incident on January the 5th?
So on January 5th, we opened up our office at VANDU at 380 East Hastings. We opened up to the community around 9 o'clock, and already by then, people on the street had been talking about a man who was murdered by police at 5 a.m. that morning at Princess and Hastings. He was a resident of the Grace Mansion. That's a transitional housing project operated by Salvation Army. The man was completely naked. He was in distress, wandering the streets. He ran into a glass door. This was captured all on video by a resident of the neighborhood. And at 5 a.m., he encountered at least three officers of the VPD who very promptly and without warning fired at least four shots into him, into his chest. And he was left dead and naked in the intersection. And that's what we know so far from the police. Global News broke the story that morning, but the police have not released any information about the officer who murdered this man, nor the name of the man murdered. So that's why at VANDU, we've been conducting community investigation in order to find out more about the victim, about the shooting, if there's witnesses. Thank you. We started a tip line and opened up our office to the folks in the neighborhood to come in with any account of what happened. It was really important for us to do this because we know that the police are very unaccountable in terms of when they slay someone in the neighborhood of the downtown east side. So yeah, the tips have been coming in and we've been able to piece together a bit more information about this man and the neighborhood.
And I watched the video footage. I saw him run into a glass door. He was clearly in distress. And he was also waving something that looked long that the police in their press release called a weapon. And some other folks have said it was a sword. What have you heard about that?
So we do know, yeah, from the footage, he was carrying a long, what looks like a metallic object over his shoulder as he was, you know, disoriented and wandering the streets. When he, you know, was walking towards the officer that murdered him, he was carrying that again over his shoulder. But the footage, you know, tells the truth, right? He did not swing the object. He was just walking completely, again, completely nude towards the cop, and they immediately fired without warning. They executed him. That's what we're calling it here at VANDU, an execution. And so, you know, the cops all often do this. They'll say, oh, this man was like in danger. He had a weapon in his hand, quote unquote. And that's why it was okay to murder him. We don't think so. You know, people in the neighborhood, people are in distress. They have mental health crises all the time here. And everyone here knows there's many ways to de-escalate a situation like that. And yes, the police have many forms of non-lethal force that they are supposed to be trained in. They're covered in weapons, many of which are non-lethal, like a taser, the beanbag guns, the spray, pepper spray. They could have used any of those to de-escalate the situation, yet they chose not to. And instead, yes, they fired 4 to 5 live rounds into the man.
In the press release, the VPD said that the man was chasing people with the weapon and using it in an aggressive and threatening manner. Vince, does this line up with what you've seen and heard from the community?
Yes. So talking to the community, there's, you know, this kind of like people having a bad time is a common occurrence, right? In the neighborhood, people yell, people, you know, wander the streets, maybe screaming, right? This is, you know, people who live in that on East Side often hear this. But the thing is, from the video footage, there was no one else on the street, really. He was not chasing anyone. There were some cars, perhaps, honking at him. And from the footage that was captured and released on Global, there doesn't seem to be anyone on the streets being, chased by this man. So again, this is, you know, this is the question that we ask all the time, and it's very pressing now. It's like, what if the footage wasn't captured, right? What could the VPD say about this incident? What could they fabricate in order to justify this murder if anyone even heard of it, right? How many people die by the hands of the police and without any, you know, footage capturing the event? Like, how do we know that they ever even bring it up, right? How is it how are they kept accountable for the lives that they take? There's a big discrepancy from the police's account and the clear footage of this man just on the street, again, completely naked, running into a door. I do not think that this man, he did not deserve to die. No one deserves to die at the hands of the police. But in this incident, yeah, there's no evidence that this man was, aggressive towards others.
I hear your emphasis on how incredibly valuable human life is, including and especially folks who aren't in a mental position to advocate for themselves. And I want to ask you about this idea of justifiable use of force. What would you say to someone who believes that the Vancouver Police Department officer was justified in this case to use lethal force for self-defense?
Absolutely not, right? This is not justifiable, especially seeing the footage. The police, again, they are trained in multiple forms of non-lethal de-escalation of a crisis. They claim to be the people that are the only legitimate body, the only legitimate force in this city that are trained and should be called to respond to a crisis. But we know in the downtown East Side, the police are the crisis. Over-policing, police harassment, police shakedowns, police brutality and violence and killings are an everyday occurrence here in the downtown East Side. And so, you know, we've had many meetings during the week talking to community members about whether this was justified, and it is a resounding no, it was not justified in this situation. It is rarely justified, that kind of lethal force. But in this situation, from what people saw and from what the footage proves, it was not justified for that officer to use lethal force indiscriminately on this man.
The VPD has said in documents that their police officers have access to non-lethal weapons such as batons, tasers, and pepper sprays. What is Vandu's perception of why lethal force and not non-lethal force was chosen in this situation?
Frankly, it's because he's a drug user, right? He's a racialized man, so we, through the community investigation, we know that he was Filipino man, a worker, and he was also someone who was clearly going through a mental health crisis in the downtown East Side, outside of a transitional home for former and current users. And you know, it's a sad fact about this city is that the lives of the people in downtown East Side, the lives of drug users, are valued lower than everyone else's, especially by the VPD. You know, we released a statement as Vandu the day after the incident. And we are unfortunately very familiar with this kind of callousness and violence inflicted upon our membership and other drug users, poor people in the downtown East Side every day. This comes to no surprise to us that they would, you know, the first thing that they thought of when they saw a man on the street, again, completely naked, that his life was expendable. And that they can execute this man. And if there was not footage, they could have gotten away with it, right? There wouldn't even be a blip on people's radar. Thank God that man captured the incident. Otherwise, I think this could have been buried. But again, that's why they, you know, they feel justified to use lethal force, is because drug users' lives in the city are not worthwhile to them, right? There's a lot of stigma in the city that, you know, this is what we do at Vandu and what we've done for 20 years is fight the stigma. The lives of drug users, our lives do matter. And we fight to prove that every day.
Vince, the VPD has referred this incident to the Independent Investigators Office, the IIO, the provincial oversight body that oversees police incidents that lead to serious harm or death. Does the fact that the IIO is looking into this give you confidence that this case will be resolved fairly and that there will be closure provided to the community?
Unfortunately, no. We know from the investigation of another man who was killed by police, Tony Du, a Vietnamese man, again, having a mental health crisis and shot in broad daylight, that the independent investigators took years to release anything. There are multiple bureaucracies investigating this death, as they always, you know, always do. They get all these, you know, different agencies outside of the police formally to look into this. But even with the community pressure and movement behind Tony Du's murder, the closure was never found, because it took years for the investigators to release anything of substance. And by then, people had moved on. And again, this is exactly why we took it upon ourselves at Vandu to do and to begin a community investigation. This is enough. The feeling that we've had here at Vandu is that this is not an exceptional incident. It is the culmination of years and years of over-policing, police violence, stigma against drug users, toxic drug supply, social isolation in transitional housing and supportive housing, just the obscene pressure of poverty on the downtown east side leads to an incident like this. And I think this must be a breaking point. We cannot have another death like this. This is just the, you know, culmination of decades of a war on drug users and a war on the poor. And at this point, we cannot depend on independent investigators and, further bureaucratic process to change things and to save lives. We need to take action and we need to organize.
Vandu has been very clear that it does not believe that an increased police presence means increased public safety. And that's contrary to the belief of many Vancouverites. Can you explain Vandu's position for us?
In 2010, and in the years leading up to the Olympics, there was a massive ticketing campaign that Vandu took on to fight, because the VPD started ticketing people in the streets in preparation for the Olympics. Anyone from panhandling to jaywalking. Essentially, if you're a downtown east side resident, if you looked poor, you would get a ticket. And we saw this as a very cynical and deliberate tactic to intimidate our members and intimidate, you know, the homeless, unhoused people on the streets to get out of the neighborhood, because there's going to be German tourists looking to buy t-shirts in the downtown east side. And so in the lead up to that, the police released a report about, you know, most of the calls, the incident calls that they got in the neighborhood. And primarily the number one reason for people to call the cops in the downtown east side and Strathcona was persons annoying. It was people that were just in the way, right, of, you know, property owners, business owners, essentially people using public space was the problem that the police were called into. And I think that's the analysis that we've built in Vandu over decades, is that the police here are not trying to serve the residents of the downtown east side. They're trying to contain them, and trying to make them invisible, trying to get them out of the neighborhood completely. Because it's, you know, a problem for property values, for instance. It's a problem for business owners to have a panhandler outside. So we know that the police here, again, they are not here to protect or serve the residents of the Downtown East Side. The residents of the Downtown East Side are the problem in their eyes, right? And so ultimately, we don't see the police as a service here. Like, our residents and our members don't see them as people that we can look to for help. People look at the cops with fear, right? When are we going to get shaken down? When are we going to get harassed? When are we going to get our money, our medicine taken from us, right? The VPD essentially acts with impunity on the Downtown East Side. And, you know, we had brought up in our statement the unrolling of the neighborhood response team last year. It was obscene because essentially it was a month before their budget was going to be reviewed. And so what we see as a cynical play for press, they enrolled this new team, which they say, or which they said in their statement, was directly intended to target what was previously considered low priority crime, including panhandling, including sleeping in front of a door, including open air drug use. This team was created just to crack down on that, right? What they admit was low priority crime. And they did this just to gin up, again, more fear, more stigma around Downtown East Side residents in order to justify, again, their ever expanding budget. And, you know, we've seen it. We know what happened in that council meeting. They did not get the raise that they wanted to.
Vince, I'm going to jump in here for a second. I think there exists evidence of what some people would say is proof that police presence in the Downtown East Side is helpful. For example, the neighborhood response team that you brought up, during its 42 days in operation, according to the VPD, they seized 210 weapons. They arrested a man who possessed brass knuckles, tasers, knives, and other weapons. They helped a 17-year-old get connected to her mental health team. Yes, the Vancouver Police Department has a tenuous relationship with many DTS residents for a number of reasons. Aren't these examples proof that the VPD contributes to the well-being of residents in the neighborhood?
Again, I have to say absolutely not. I'll address that piece by piece. So they love to name the, they like to throw out numbers for all the weapons that they confiscated. Whenever they do get around to taking a photograph of what those weapons are, we've seen it. They include things like, yes, brass knuckles, for instance, but also household scissors. I think I saw a wine opener in their last photo. There's some Batman memorabilia. And it's the same thing with this incident just this week, right? It's like a large metallic object. Is that a sword? Is it a movie prop? Is it actually something that can or will be used to harm someone? We don't know, right? Anything in the eyes, that's being held in the hands of a poor person by a cop can be considered a weapon. And so I think that's complete bullshit, the number of weapons that they have. And for instance, again, another thing. So going through that list again, the young woman who has been able to, you know, connect with her, like a counselor or whatever services she needed, police should not be doing that. Like, there are multiple, you know, health agencies, social service agencies, community outreach agencies, which are, again, right now are being, you know, their funding does not increase as much as the police do, and they're probably chronically underfunded. Those are all programs, services, people that can be doing that work, but meanwhile the VPD is sucking up all the money from the rest of the city such that, yeah, like, you know, necessary outreach services cannot be done by professionals that don't have to carry guns on them, for instance. So again, I would say frankly, I do not think that the police's presence here is at all welcome or useful. And again, it's like, you know, talking to the residents here and working in Vandu, things get rough out there, right? And there's certainly asocial behavior. People are rough with each other. It's like in any community, right? People get in fights. But the thing is that the increase and the kind of like the visibility of it on the streets in the Downtown East Side are all products of social dislocation, of isolation, of, you know, essentially increasing poverty, right? Decreasing access to social services and community. These are the root causes of what you see in the downtown east side and what is felt in the downtown east side as, yeah, a rough neighborhood. But again, why does the police, like, where does the police kind of fit into that, right? The police instead are felt as, you know, an occupying army in this neighborhood, as people that you have to be afraid of constantly. And you're under the threat of, again, anything from harassment to a shakedown to now we see death by shooting. And as such, like, we need to address these questions and these problems that face the downtown east side, not through more cops on the streets, but rather increased services, higher welfare rates, higher disability rates, better housing, any housing at all. These are the things that we need, right? Not more cops.
Vince, Van Duy and Pivot Legal released a press statement calling for the VPD's operating budget to be reduced by half. The statement pointed out that there are many groups who need more funding, such as the Sweetgrass Patrol, the Downtown Eastside Women's Center, and it suggested that some of the funding be transferred to those groups. But some people might say that a 50% reduction in the VPD's budget may be too much. In a society and a neighborhood where there are violent assaults, where altercations can become deadly, who else would people call aside from the VPD?
So when we talk about violence on the downtown east side, there is violence, right? There's violence all over the city. But the thing is about the police's presence here in the downtown east side as, you know, so-called crisis responders is that, again, like the primary function of the police here on the downtown east side is not to serve the people here to protect them, but it is to serve the interests of the businesses, the BIA, the real estate developers, the property owners. And as such, we know that when they see someone on the street here, they see them as an outsider, right? They see them as an enemy, a target. If we were able to come up with alternatives, right, if we are given the chance to come up with alternatives for community crisis response, that would, I believe, and I'm certain actually, would lead to less death, would lead to less, essentially police harassment, police death, police abuse here, because as a community, yeah, we know how to take care of each other. So if I could say this, like, I was talking to one of our leaders here, Brian, and he was trying to propose, instead of having increased police presence to deal with violence in the neighborhood, is instead that we would, you know, democratically elect and train leaders and crisis responders from the community, right? People who know each other, right? To be able to respond to these incidents. Because again, if a cop just sees a poor person as like a target with a dot on his chest, they are more likely to use lethal force to respond to a crisis. Instead, if we knew each other, right? And people here in the downtown east side more than any other neighborhood in the city know each other, know each other's names, know each other's, daily schedules, know each other from seeing them, like, each other on the street. These are the people that should be responding to crisis. Community members, friends, family, right? Not the police as an outside force.
Vince, I hear your many points about alternative responders to crises in the downtown east side. When altercations become extremely violent, and we know that in some situations they will for one reason or another, when responding to a crisis may be a life and death issue for the responder, who else could respond to that call aside from the police?
Again, I would like to say that the community knows how to take care of itself, right? And if we are given the funding and the training and the opportunity, right, to try this, to be able to you know, not have to depend on the police to come and, yeah, end any situation with a bullet. I think that, you know, this is always the case when we talk about these issues, like the what if this happens? What if this happens and we need the cops? But we never allow the space for what if we didn't, right? What if we can try something else? And I think that this is always the horizon that when we talk about confronting and defunding the police is that alternatives are not allowed to exist, right, to the police. They want to grow and expand their power and control of the neighborhood. And as such, the opportunity to try something like this is never on the table, right? And that's what we're fighting for instead. There's a movement, not just here, but across North America, across the world, where enough is enough. And we need to be able to ask that question and challenge ourselves to come up with an alternative. And until we are able to answer that, there's no point in playing this game of saying, oh, what if this situation? What if there's a Tyrannosaurus Rex coming through the downtown east side? Then we'll need the cops. Like there's never going to be the space for the question of like, what if we can try something else, right? Until we fight for it, and which is why I think ultimately we need alternatives and more than ever. And this week's incident is proof of that.
Vince, thank you so much for your time today. And I know we're really looking forward to hearing the results of the community investigation.
Thank you so much, Mingxi. And thanks for giving us some space to talk about this.
And that was Vince Tao, an organizer with the Vancouver Area Network of Drug Users, VANDU, about a police shooting of a 37-year-old man in the downtown east side on January the 5th. And that's it for today. You're listening to The Pulse on CFRO, where your super local morning news show here on Vancouver Co-op Radio 100.5 FM. I'm Tan Macy, and as always, please tell us what you think of the show. I'm at Macy at coopradio.org. That's M-E-I-X-I at coopradio.org. Ciao. Take care.
CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.